All right. Well, listen, good morning. It is awfully good to be with you folks. Actually, I was even going to offer Kevin a fisherman's friend virtually. There you go. Yeah, fine. It is really nice to see some familiar faces as well. That's going back years, come to think of it. And yeah, and may God truly bless Pastor Colin and Char and their family, especially as Char and the kids head out there and begin their ministry out in the Maritimes. So it's really good to be virtually here with you this morning. Now, maybe you've heard the expression, you know, somebody preaching something that God has laid on their heart. Well, this is something. It's actually been burning a hole in my heart and mine for the past year or so. I got a chance to share it first back around New Year's, and this morning is actually going to mark the third time here in early 2021 that God has given me a chance to bring this message to a group of people, even if online as opposed to being in person. Now, just so you don't think that he's just redoing an old sermon, not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but each time I've done that, it's come out a little bit differently, and so I hope it's going to make some sense to you here this morning. It's not my usual thing, so I want to thank you in advance for putting up with this. And then I just thought about it the other day, just in case, because if I say something that you are thinking, well, that's really out to lunch, or I'd like to know more about that, feel free to send me an email, and if you want to send it to murphonarock@gmail.com, murphonarock@gmail.com. Actually, I was taking our laptop in for a repair one time, and the guy at Best Buy was asking my email, right? So I said, murphonarock, because murphonarock, oh, hey, you're from Newfoundland? And I said, my dad was born in Newfoundland, but no, I was thinking of you know, Jesus. And he goes, oh, yeah, of course, there's two rocks. So anyway, but you feel free. And actually, I know Mark led us in the Lord's Prayer, but I'm actually wanting us to turn to the Lord's Prayer, but not the one that starts Our Father who art in heaven. That is actually the disciples' prayer. But I want to look at the prayer that Jesus prayed, and it's recorded for us in John chapter 17. So if you have a Bible with you and you want to look at John 17, this is the prayer that the Lord prayed. Now, He prays this prayer for Himself, He prays it for His disciples, and He prays here for us. So it's John 17. I'm going to read out of the NIV. Hope that's okay. Some of you folks with the fancy online stuff, you can just change it right there. But John 17, I just want to start at verse 13. Jesus says this to the Father, I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself. That idea of like holiness is actually being set apart. And so Jesus says, even I sanctify myself for them, that they too may be truly sanctified. And then in verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And even though we just have the printed page, that's us. We're believing in him through their message. And what's his prayer for you and me? That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. He's given us glory, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then, and actually I even underlined it in double lines, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Too many times we just figure, hey, if we get a really decent coffee machine in that foyer, we're going to bring a big crowd to this church. Jesus said, no, if you're unified, then the world will know that you sent me. They are not of the world, he said in verse 16. They're not of the world, even as I am not of it. Now, that's something we've heard quite a bit about, right? Don't be of the world. Don't be worldly. And a previous generation kind of get the impression that worldliness was sometimes defined in Christian circles as things we don't do. When I first started meeting Christian people back in my early 20s, I was amazed at some of the things they seemed to put a real important emphasis on, like, is it okay to play cards? Can we go to a movie theater? Right? We don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't go out with girls who do. Over the years, I realized more and more, okay, first of all, none of what I just said was it. That's not worldliness, okay? These days, I realize that I am out of touch. I am just out of step with the world. Not the people of the world. God tells us to love them, right? The ones he loved so much that he gave his one and only son. But it's the world's systems, its values. And I'm realizing more and more that I just don't fit in. I've been in radio broadcasting for a number of years. The Grammy Awards, always a big deal. I don't understand today's music at all. Now, no offense if you do, if you're a big fan, but I just don't get it. I'm not up on the latest TV shows. Now, if you want to ask me a trivia question about television from the 60s and 70s, I'm your man. I wasted a great deal of time as a young person. But I can't tell you too much about current TV shows. Even when it comes to sports, when I was a kid, I knew all the players and all the numbers on the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? Hockey night in Canada. I even remember when they won the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't tell you much about the Maple Leafs now. They're doing okay, I hear, right? This could be the year! Like, we haven't been saying that for the last 54 years. Hey, some of you might remember John Denver. Okay, that's going to take you back. He wrote a song about a man who was born in the summer of his 27th year, going home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind him. You might say he was born again. You might say he found the key to every door. Now, back in 1972, that was just a song about a guy in the Rocky Mountains and whatever else that title of the song actually meant. But I later realized what John Denver wrote. That's my story. Although it happened to me in the winter of my 22nd year. That's the year I received Christ. And I was born again. Everything changed. And as I have grown in my Christian walk over these last 40-some-odd years, sometimes a lot slower in my growth than I would kind of hoped, I'm a work in progress, but I'm left with a strange realization that this world is not my home. It's looking less and less like it. In fact, this occurred to me a few years ago. I don't think I've actually ever been home. Well, there's lots of good things I could tell you about growing up in Hamilton, living in Simcoe, London, Kitchener-Waterloo, now the Village of Ayr. But I'm not home yet. I never have been. I'm going home. And I can't really tell you a whole lot about what that's going to look like. It's a place I've never been before. But more and more I realize I don't belong here in this world. And I want to propose to you that as followers of Christ, that feeling, as unsettling as it can be, that feeling that, hey, I don't really belong here, that is normal. Jesus wasn't at home in this world either. And he prays that his followers wouldn't be. Now, as he prays, right, he isn't taking his followers out of the world. He's left us here to be salt and light. So in some sense, none of what I just said to you this morning should be rocket science, right? It's what we all know something about as Christians here on planet Earth. This place is looking less and less like home to all of us. In fact, if you're too comfortable down here, you'll need to spend some time asking yourself why. But while none of what I just said should come as any surprise to you, I do want to say something that might come as a surprise. Because more and more, especially this past year during the pandemic, particularly with the political climate, certainly in Canada, but maybe especially south of the border in the U.S., as people have just pulled farther and farther and farther apart over the last few years, I've now come to realize that more and more, I'm finding that I don't fit in to the Christian world either. That part rattles me. More and more I find I'm out of step with what at least is passing for evangelical Christianity here in 2021. Now, I'm in good company, apparently. You've heard about Beth Moore, very popular author, Bible teacher, who recently announced she is no longer a Southern Baptist. She says, I love so many Southern Baptist people, so many Southern Baptist churches. The church she grew up in, she says, was a refuge from a troubled home. She said, my local church growing up saved my life. So many times, she says, my home was my unsafe place. My church was my safe place. But back in October 2016, Beth Moore had what she called the shock of my life. She was reading those transcripts of the Access Hollywood tapes where Donald Trump boasted about all those exploits that he had with women. Now, she just expected all my fellow evangelicals, well, they're going to be outraged, right? Especially given how they reacted to Bill Clinton's conduct back in the 90s. Instead, she said, they rallied around Mr. Trump. Now, Beth, who described herself as pro-life from conception to grave, she said she knew why. I know why evangelicals supported the former president. He promised to deliver anti-abortion judges up and down the judicial system. But still, she couldn't comprehend how this man had now somehow become a champion of the faith. She says he became a banner, the poster child for the great white hope of evangelicalism, the salvation of the church in America. Nothing could have prepared me for that. And when she spoke out about these things, the pushback was fierce. Sales of her book? Right down. Ticket sales to her events pre-COVID? Now, when you're Beth Moore, you're talking a couple of $1 million of revenue that she lost. And she says she watched as a mix of misogyny, nationalism, and partisan politics started taking over the evangelical world that she loved. In one of her tweets, she said, I'm 63 and a half years old. I do not believe these are the days for mincing words. This astonishingly seductive and dangerous Christian nationalism is not of God. This is not who I am. And I say, good on you, Beth Moore. The current state of the Christian church, at least how it is most likely to be portrayed and seen by the general public here in North America, it's not who I am either. Now, not to diminish in any way the real pain or heartbreak maybe you or somebody you know has experienced with this disease. And we were just praying. We get together on a couple of Zoom prayer meetings every week and with some of the folks from the radio station, right? They just ask me to come and fill in every now and again. And Michael Austin Harris, he's a pastor of a church in Guelph, and one of his parishioners got COVID. She was not expected to live. She even had a tracheotomy because she couldn't breathe anymore. But Drake is gone. She's back home, starting to recover. Starting. I say starting because I know somebody else, 30 years of age, a year ago, got the disease, got infected. Now, she has recovered. But the word recovery, we have to be careful in using that word and throwing it around like that, right? People say, hey, 99.99999% of people survive COVID. Well, yeah, they do. But my friend was a long hauler. So many effects still linger. Just found out that one of my friends who I kind of mentored a little bit is working at a radio station in Guelph now. She's a long hauler. She's a long hauler. Muscle aches, fatigue, brain fog. Some people lose their sense of smell for months. Some end up with scar tissue on their heart and lungs. Some will need dialysis for damaged kidneys for the rest of their life. So, let me say it here if you need a reminder. Keep practicing all that social distancing. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Right? It's a real thing. This thing is real. And you know what? I have to say that because I've discovered that still several of my Christian friends and acquaintances, they are still convinced this whole thing is overblown. This is a hoax. I don't believe those numbers. Oh, that's just big pharma. You can't trust the government. Hey, stop watching fake news. On my Facebook page, every Sunday during the pandemic now, for a whole year, I record a little song, I do a little hymn, and I share some scriptures just to put something positive out there on social media. Because there's all kinds of negativity, right, online, in the news. I mean, you've seen it. The church has even made the press. We've made headlines, but not always for the best reasons. Some churches have defied the government lockdown regulations. Pastors have supported, even organized, anti-mask rallies. There's one going on today in Alberta. People have refused to wear a mask because it's become a political thing. They're sharing scary stories about vaccines. They call their friends sheeple for being suckered in to all this. What? You're just sheep. And I think, well, Jesus called me a sheep. I'm okay with that. And the sad thing to me is that I pretty much only hear the angry words and see the defiant actions coming from the followers of Jesus. Now, this latest, stay-at-home order, even now, some of my non-Christian friends are going, oh, I'm so fed up with this. You know, I'm trying to get a break with their businesses. It's a rough, tough time. But for the most part, all throughout this pandemic, my non-Christian friends, they seem to get it, right? Said, no, we got to put up with this. Wear your mask. hey, got to think about others, right? My non-Christian friends are now quoting Jesus. Can you believe that? Now, it's not an easy time. The economy is going right down the tubes. Right? We all want this to be over. But among us, followers of Jesus, entire families have been torn apart. And we've been torn apart over things that Jesus would tell us don't matter at all. Things like our political views, they're all going to burn up at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, you maybe have friends or relatives you can hardly be on speaking terms with, right? Hey, don't mention Donald Trump and Uncle Bill and all we're having to serve. In spite of the global effects of COVID-19 and the loss of loved ones, I want to propose to you, I'm realizing that God is using this time to hold up a mirror to his people. The last few years, politically, the corona pandemic, I believe they're revealing things to us, things about us that aren't all that good. Things I believe that we will need to correct as we move forward, hopefully soon. Now, when things get back to normal, no, I hope we return to something a whole lot better than normal. I believe God is even calling us to that. The world is seeing a lot of negative stereotypes. And actually, that's the word I want you to think about this morning, stereotypes. Right? The world sees what a follower of Jesus, well, what they think a follower of Jesus looks like and believes right now. Right? Ask your next door neighbor. Christians? Oh, they're those angry people. Yeah, they carry flags in one hand and AK-47 assault rifles in the other. Aren't they? Oh, no, they're anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers. They believe all those conspiracy theories. Don't they? Well, no, of course not. The vast majority of Jesus followers don't look like this at all. Especially as I look over all these little boxes of all you good folks at Generations Community Church. I better get that out pretty quick. By the way, Don't ever let someone the likes of me make you feel guilty. But the stereotypes, don't you remember that word? They're getting the most attention these last months and even years. And it's all those false views of what a true follower of Jesus looks like that you and I must do everything we can to counteract, to fight against. Right? When people around the water cooler or over the back fence, they start talking about those crazy Christians, angry crazy Christians, you want to be the reason that somebody says, well, no, actually, I know that. I know that Kevin Wakeham fella, he's his wife is okay, and he's quite tolerable. You know, okay, maybe you saw that piece on the news program W5 last month on TV. They did a story of that Church of God in Aylmer, the very controversial pastor Henry Hildebrand. He's led several anti-mask rallies calling on the congregation to defy these government lockdown services. Orders. He's been holding services. Large numbers of people. No social distancing. No face coverings. His son is going to court for allegedly pushing down an 84-year-old man, cracked a couple of the guy's ribs, in anger because the gentleman had put a sign on his front lawn across the street from the church, his own lawn, supporting healthcare workers and encouraging people to wear their masks. What is all this? In fact, the commentator there on W5, she took a look at the pastor and she said, this doesn't look godly to me. I'm assuming he's a non-Christian, but they understand. They know. I don't want to come to Jesus if it makes me angry. I was sharing some concerns with a friend. They actually attend one of these, you know, controversial churches in Windsor, actually. And they were proclaiming, we have no king but Jesus. Well, yes, of course, Jesus Christ is Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords. We're not living in first century Rome. Here in 21st century Canada, well, we get to vote for our government. Do you know there are people right now working in the provincial and federal government who are also committed followers of Jesus? Well, it's Canada. Some of them are Muslims, some of them are Sikhs, some of them are Jewish. Don't you think they want to attend a worship service with their family just as much as we do? Right? It's not a matter of us and them. In Canada, sometimes some of them is us. I don't believe the government has been out to persecute Christians. I sincerely believe they are trying to do their best. Figure out the virus, try to keep people safe. Have they made mistakes? Yes, absolutely. But I don't see them as our enemies. Well, not yet anyway, although I'm pretty sure they're starting to get pretty fed up with some of us this past year. Now, the other week I passed a milestone birthday. And I know you wouldn't think so. But as I passed that birthday, I have told myself that you are going to do everything you can not to become yet another angry evangelical old man. Right? The world has enough of those. I'll still yell at kids to get off my lawn, you know, but I'm on a mission. And it's kind of like what Beth Moore said. I mean, I'm in my 60s. I can't play with this anymore. Sometimes what passes for your typical everyday Christianity here in North America, it is not anything that Jesus would even recognize from what he wants his followers to be, the way he wants his followers to live. Okay, let me just put on my prophet's hat for a moment. Not to make light of the gift of prophecy. I just don't want to pressure you into thinking that, you know, hey, you must be right. I might not be. I might be out to lunch on some of this. You need to test the spirits regarding anything anybody says. But in spite of the great pain and suffering that many have experienced, I believe this time of COVID-19 has been much like the hitting of a big pause button. It's God's pause button, so it's a big one. I believe that before the return of Jesus, a great harvest of souls is coming. This pandemic is leaving many people right now searching for hope. I was tuning into the CBC radio about 3 or 4 weeks back. Country music star Carrie Underwood, right? She's just recorded a gospel album called My Savior. Her album's selling the millions. It's an album of hymns. And I was listening to her being interviewed by Tom Powers on the CBC radio show called Q. Completely secular. You can hear all kinds of wild stuff on that show. That day, all across the country of Canada, from sea to shining sea, Tom Powers was playing portions of her song. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. And I could tell that Tom was genuinely interested in some of the reasons that Carrie Underwood had for recording these old hymns. She doesn't need the money. Especially when she spoke about the hope that these have given her and the messages and her faith, the hope that that has given her even during COVID-19. And they both talked about how people have been searching. Even Tom Powers saying, yeah, people are searching for something outside of themselves. Searching for hope. And the question is, will they find it in us? Well, of course, not us, but in our message, gospel, good news of Jesus Christ. Or is that message getting drowned out by the stereotypical evangelical Christians making all the headlines these days? You know, here in Canada, in the U.S., I believe Satan has actually done a really good job of sowing division. You ever experienced a time when people are this divided, right and left? He's been dividing up the body of Christ over these last few years. We can point out who we think he's been using, but no, it's him. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. Remember that prayer of Jesus that I read for you, right? The prayer to us? And the non-Christian world recognizes it, by the way. They see it. Hey, these people aren't together, man. They see us right now as angry. They read our hurtful comments. We just slash and trash segments of the population. We just cancel out everybody's culture so easily. We just hurl them at each other online. They see us as uncaring. You don't care about me. All you got to do is wear a little mask when you're going out to the store. I'm worried about COVID. I got a mother that's just had cancer surgery. Put that thing on, please. Now, most of us know we're not uncaring. You people are not uncaring. Right now, I'm afraid the perception, the stereotypes, they are speaking too loudly right now. And people can't see past us in order to even notice Jesus. Now, it may sound strange to say this, but as the harvest will come, I believe the fields once again are ripening for it. As strange as this sounds, though, I believe right now, sadly, the followers of Jesus are the ones who, maybe for the most part, are not ready for the harvest. But I believe God is placing before us right now, in this time of pause, a couple of things. First, in the past and recently especially, we have been far too enamored with power, money, prestige, and bigness. I really believe God is calling us to think small. Not spiritually small. But for too long, our church congregations, they're just those big buildings where lots of people gather to make up the audience that gets to watch all the professionals up on the platform. We got to reimagine church. We got to consider a return to what was happening in the New Testament as people gathered in each other's homes in smaller upper room type gatherings. Acts 2:42-47 kind of stuff. Zoom has been a big help in this. Look at this. Here we are, virtually gathered together, right? As Mark prayed, two or three gathered. We're gathered here in His name. And as we sung, He is here, right? Healing. He's still the waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. He's here. Now the church services, if you ever read 1 Corinthians 14, those were electric. Everybody had something to share, a hymn, a word. Everybody was able to test the spirit of what was being shared and said. People were built up. Outsiders were amazed. And let me give you in particular some hope before I'm done. I know I'm supposed to preach here over the next two Sundays, but you may be reconsidering that now. Let me assure you that I have long kept you folks here at Generations Community Church in my thoughts and in my prayers. Because I really do believe you may be in the best position to be fulfilling, to be the fulfillers of this mandate, this vision, this open door that I believe the Lord is placing right in front of you. And especially when this pandemic settles down, right? We got to find technical ways and creative ways to do this. But, okay, I said there were two things. First, don't despise smallness. God can do some very big things with this little bunch. I often think about that verse from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." You're free, little flock. But secondly, and this one I kind of say to myself first because I really want to be there when it happens, but before the harvest comes, well, there's going to have to be all over this country some major pruning and sifting. Now, this needs to cause every follower of Jesus to press our own pause button for a moment and ask ourselves, gee, what have I let slide? Have I settled for being just another run-of-the-mill North American evangelical Christian? Because I'll tell you right now, the world is sick of that. They are sick of that. They deserve better. Actually, God deserves better. Hey, I don't know if you saw it on the news the other day, but at Easter time, instead of showing some church that's breaking all the rules and getting fined, CTV, they did a story, and my friend Kirk Giles, he's one of the pastors at Forward Church. There he was with his mask on, but I tell you, he was able to say some really positive things. Now, they were all socially distanced. They were abiding by the rules, and he was able to talk about the hope they had in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Great things are on the way. May we not miss it. Now, we live in an unprecedented age. Things like social media, they make more and more ordinary lives an open book to be viewed by the whole world. So what are they seeing when they look at you and me? Okay, back at New Year's, I gave a little challenge to a group of people at a church not far from here. I never challenge anybody with anything unless I first challenge myself. So I'm actually on my way to finishing doing this here in April. I'm down around, I think, John chapter 18. But here's my challenge. I gave them a suggestion. It was for a New Year's resolution. Well, here we are. It's not even mid-April, just past week after Easter. And you've already broken several of your 2021 New Year's resolutions by now. So can I suggest this one to you? And actually, Mark's prayer today touched on it, as he talked about the teachings and the words of Jesus. So let me just give you a little suggestion as I'm closing here. Find yourself a Bible, the words of Jesus in red, right? The words of Jesus in red. And then just commit some time to reading those words in red from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, you got to read some of the black letters too, for context. Just over maybe even just the next couple of months, while you're stuck at home waiting for your vaccine, spend some serious time reacquainting yourselves with those words of Jesus Christ. Taking note of what He says, of course, but also look at how He lives, the way He treats people. Hey, what kind of gun would He insist on being able to own? political party would he be voting for? What kind of a minimum wage would he want people to work for? Start asking yourself, look at the way he treats people, especially those who are broken, weary, somehow left out of the mainstream religious life of the day. Listen to what he says about how you and I are to act, how we are to treat our neighbors and friends, how we are to treat our enemies. The words in red from the four Gospels. Just read a little portion, you know, daily during your quiet time. Don't hurry through it. But second, and this one I say to myself first because, just don't hurry forward. Yeah, sorry. At the wrong page. Don't hurry through. Just do a few verses. It's not a contest. You're not checking off a little box. But every morning, this past year since it's begun, as I've finished reading a few verses of the words in red, and by the way, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't read all four Gospels, all right, just read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 17. Start there. Those are some great words. Every morning as I finish reading them, I just ask myself one question. Do I look and talk like this? People see this person in me. Am I becoming more like Jesus? Like I said, work in progress. Or have I settled to just look more and more like a typical 21st century North American evangelical churchgoer? And if I don't look like Jesus, what steps will I take to make it happen? Let me just lead you in prayer. Father, I just come to you right now, and Father, thank you. Thank you for the words of Christ, words that he said, the words that he says to us. Thank you for your word. He even said it was truth, and count on it. Lord, I want to just offer up a prayer for these folks right here at Generations Church. And you've led them, been with them. You have not forsaken them, and they're not forsaken now, and say you can think about another pastor someday. Father, I pray you would strengthen them. Strengthen them not just so that they know more stuff about the Bible, but that they know you. That they know you and they begin to reflect you even more. Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor and all the praise. For you're the one that deserves it. Lord, for the sake of your kingdom, and it's coming, for the sake of your kingdom, make us more like you, and less like us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.